All right, everybody, get ready for this one because today we are diving deep into something
Oh, yeah.
pretty wild. Nokia is putting a 4G LTE cellular network on the moon.
On the moon.
Yeah, a whole lunar communication system. We've got a video from Nokia Bell Labs, some tech articles breaking it all down, and of course, Intel straight from Nokia themselves.
This is not just some publicity stunt, though. This is really
Yeah.
about building a future where humanity is going to have a permanent
Right.
presence on the
Well,
moon.
it's
Why?
easy to picture, astronauts like making calls from the Sea of Tranquility.
Right.
But what's the real game changer here?
Okay, so think about it. Up until now, space communication has relied on these point-to-point radio transmissions, limited bandwidth. Every signal is like sending a letter through the cosmic post office.
Bah.
But with the Artemis program, all these plans for lunar habitats, we're going to have way more traffic. We're talking rovers, scientific instruments, maybe even lunar construction crews.
So it's like trying to run a whole city on dial-up internet.
Exactly. A cellular network gives you the kind of speed and flexibility that future moon residents are going to need. We're talking high-definition video streaming, remote control of equipment, even real-time collaboration between scientists on Earth and astronauts on the moon.
That's where it gets really interesting to me because the moon is not exactly a friendly environment
Right.
for electronics.
Brutal.
How do you even begin to build a cell network that can survive extreme temperatures, radiation, and the
Yeah.
vacuum of space?
They basically had to reinvent the wheel. They've had to harden every single component, shielding them from radiation, making sure they can withstand those wild temperature swings, and making sure they can handle the vibrations of launch and landing.
So we're not talking about your average cell tower here.
No.
What does this lunar setup actually look like?
They've developed what they call network in a box. It's a self-contained unit with everything you need for a cell network. Base station radio units, the works, like they shrunk a whole terrestrial network and made it space-worthy.
That level of miniaturization
Yeah.
must have been incredibly challenging.
Absolutely. And add another layer to it. This network in a box is hitching a ride on an upcoming mission by Intuitive Machines. They're landing near the lunar South Pole.
Why the South Pole? Is it just for the bragging rights?
There's a scientific reason. The South Pole is believed to contain water ice in permanently shadowed craters. That water could be a vital resource for future lunar inhabitants. Drinking water, oxygen, even rocket fuel.
So this mission is about more than just testing out a cell network. It's laying the foundation for humans to stay on the moon long term. What is Nokia hoping to achieve with this first deployment?
The main goal is to demonstrate that a cellular network can work on the lunar surface. The networks can be used to let the IM-2 lander, talk to the vehicles, exploring the lunar surface, a rover and a hopper, basically like that small agile robot that can hop around on the surface, exploring those hard-to-reach areas. Imagine a tiny robotic kangaroo bouncing across the moon, sending back high-def video via a 4G network.
Now that is a visual I can get behind, but one of the articles mentioned a limited lifespan for this network. That doesn't sound very future lunar based to me.
You're right, there's a catch. The lunar night lasts for about 14 Earth days, and it plunges the landing site into darkness. The network's only expected to function for a few days during the lunar day, when it has access to sunlight to power the lander's solar panels.
So it's a test run,
Yeah.
proof of concept. What are the biggest risks with this limited window of operation?
The biggest risk is that they're not going to be able to get enough data in that short time frame to fully validate the tech. There's also the risk of technical glitches that could end the experiment early. This mission is really pushing the boundaries of what's possible, and with that comes uncertainty.
Makes you appreciate the challenges they've overcome just to get to this point.
Yeah.
So this is just the first step. What's Nokia's long-term vision for this lunar network? So we're talking about a lunar network that can only function for a few days.
Right.
That's a bold move, but I imagine Nokia has bigger plans down the
Yeah,
road, right?
absolutely. This first deployment is just a stepping stone. Nokia is thinking about a future where a 4G, 5G network blankets the whole lunar surface, supporting not just these missions, but lunar settlements and even commercial activities.
It's mind-blowing to think about all the possibilities. We've been talking about this from a technical perspective, but what about the practical applications? How would a lunar cell network be used beyond those early
Well,
missions?
for starters, it would change how astronauts explore and work on the moon. Forget those bulky spacesuits with limited communication range. With a cell network, astronauts could be equipped with lightweight devices, allowing them to communicate seamlessly with each other, with a lunar base, even with mission control back on Earth.
That makes me think of all those sci-fi movies where they're just casually video chatting from different parts of the moon.
It's not that far-fetched. High-definition video streaming
will
become a standard tool for exploration research, even, just staying connected with loved ones back home. Imagine the first lunar TikTok going viral.
Okay, now that's a thought, but let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Right.
What other practical uses are we talking about?
Well, scientifically.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless. Think about remote-controlled rovers, venturing into dangerous or hard-to-reach places, streaming back real-time data and video, or scientists on Earth, collaborating with astronauts on the moon, as if they were right there, conducting experiments, analyzing samples together.
It would change the way we do science on the moon. What about things like mining or construction? I know there's talk about using lunar resources to build future habitats.
A reliable communication network would be essential for that. Imagine coordinating robotic mining equipment from a central control center, or having real-time monitoring of construction projects.
It seems like a lot of this hinges on remote operation and automation. Are we talking about a future where robots do most of the work on the moon while humans oversee things from a safe distance?
It's definitely a possibility. A lunar cell network could allow for a whole new era of telepresence and remote operation. Humans could control robots and machinery from a lunar base, or even from Earth.
So instead of sending humans to do dangerous tasks.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We send robots controlled by humans back on Earth or in orbit.
I can see the appeal of that.
It reduces the risks associated with human exploration.
Mm-hmm.
We can still accomplish those complex tasks on the moon. And as robotics keeps advancing, the possibilities for remote operation are only going to grow.
We've painted this picture of this future lunar network supporting science exploration, even industry. But let's be realistic for a second. Building and maintaining this infrastructure on the moon has got to be astronomically expensive.
Okay.
How do we even justify the cost?
You have to consider the long-term benefits. Think about the cost of traditional space communication methods, launching satellites, maintaining them, relying on limited bandwidth, constantly needing to upgrade systems.
So you're saying a lunar cell network could actually streamline costs.
Exactly. It's an investment in a more efficient and scalable communication infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
They can adapt and grow with our future needs on the moon. And don't forget, we're not just talking about government-funded missions anymore.
Right. The landscape of space exploration is changing.
We're entering an era of commercial space ventures.
Exactly.
As more companies get involved, the cost of accessing space will likely decrease, making a lunar cell network more feasible.
So it's not just government agencies footing the bill anymore.
Not at all. We're talking about a convergence of public and private interests. Companies see the value in investing in lunar infrastructure to support their own activities.
It makes sense. A reliable communication network is essential for any sustained activity, whether it's here on Earth or on the moon.
Right.
What are some of the specific industries or economic opportunities that you see emerging?
Well, for starters, we've talked about mining. Extracting resources from the moon could be a major industry. Supplying materials for construction, energy production, and manufacturing in space. A cell network would be crucial for coordinating these operations.
What about lunar tourism? I know it's been talked about for years. Is a cell network going to make those dreams of lunar vacations a reality?
It's a possibility. Imagine tourists exploring lunar landscapes, visiting historical sites, even experiencing zero gravity, all while staying connected with friends and family back home.
I can see the Instagram posts now. Living my best lunar life. It sounds amazing, but also a bit daunting. What kind of challenges do you foresee with opening up the moon to tourism?
Well, there's the logistics of transporting people safely to and from the moon. Then there's the environmental concerns. How do we protect the lunar environment?
Yeah.
And the ethical considerations. Who gets to go to the moon? Will it become a playground just for the wealthy?
Those are big questions. And we're just scratching the surface of the impact this technology could have. We need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll delve deeper into these ethical and societal questions that arise from a connected moon. Okay, so we've been talking about all the amazing things this lunar network could do, scientific breakthroughs, lunar industries, but with any powerful technology, there's a flip side. What are some of the unintended consequences or ethical challenges we might face as we start building this connected future on the moon?
That's a big question, and it's one we're just starting to think about. I think one of the biggest concerns is environmental protection. We've seen how human activity has impacted things here on Earth.
Right.
How do we make sure we don't repeat those same mistakes on the moon?
Especially with things like mining and large-scale construction, the moon might seem vast, but it's actually a pretty fragile environment.
Exactly. The lunar landscape has been untouched for billions of years. We need to be really careful to minimize our impact. Mm-hmm. Things like dust mitigation, responsible waste disposal, even just where we put infrastructure. All of this will require planning and international cooperation.
It sounds like a huge task, especially with commercial interests involved. Who's going to set the rules? Who decides what's okay and what's not?
That's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Right now, there's no single international body that has authority over lunar activities. The 1967 Outer Space Treaty has some basic principles, but that was written when private space ventures weren't even really a thing.
So we need updated regulations as we move towards this more complex future on the moon. What about space debris? We already have enough junk orbiting Earth. Are we just going to create the same problem on the moon?
It's a valid concern. Any activity on the moon is going to create debris. We have to be proactive, designing for minimal waste, recycling programs, maybe even using robots for construction and maintenance to reduce the human footprint.
Thinking long term, if this lunar network becomes a reality, we're essentially creating a new frontier, a new space for human activity.
That's right.
What kind of social and cultural impacts do you anticipate?
It's interesting to think about. Will we see a distinct lunar culture emerge, shaped by the challenges and opportunities of living on the moon? Will lunar residents have their own customs, traditions, even their own language?
It's like the beginning of a whole new society.
Yeah.
But will it be a society that's accessible to everyone? We mentioned it earlier. But there's a concern that this will only benefit the wealthy or those from powerful nations. How do we ensure that everyone has equal access to this new frontier?
That's a social justice issue that we need to talk about. We need to find ways to make lunar opportunities available to everyone, regardless of their background or financial means.
I feel like we're just scratching the surface of the potential impacts, both good and bad, that this lunar network could have.
Absolutely.
That's a lot to think about.
It is. And that's why it's important to have these discussions now. Before things move too fast, we need to hear from different people, consider the ethical implications, and work together to create a future on the moon that benefits all of us.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the lunar cell network. This is a story of incredible technology, ambitious goals, and big questions about our future as a spacefaring species.
We've talked about the tech, the economic possibilities, and the ethical challenges. And it's clear this is just the beginning.
So we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this new frontier? What excites you? What concerns you? Share your thoughts on social media using the hashtag #LunarChat. Until next time, keep looking up and keep exploring.